You're listening to No Other Foundation with Pastor Phil of Calvary Chapel, Reno Sparks.
No, let's pray though. Let's just ask the Lord Jesus to bless our time tonight, because this is going to be fun. Lord, we do come before you. And Lord, when I say fun, I mean exciting, because we're studying biblical prophecy, Lord, and just how your word relates to, or actually, Lord, how the events of this year relate to your word. And Lord, it's exciting to see all of the things that are happening. And Lord, at the same time, we want to be careful that we don't become so focused on all of this that we miss what you want us to be doing. So Lord, give us that, help us to strike that right balance. And Lord, please help us, Lord, to be stirred up to share the love of Jesus tonight. And Lord, as always, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint this time, anoint my lips and the teaching, Lord, the sharing that I'm going to do tonight. And Lord, if there's anything that's just not of you, I just pray, Father, that you would just give us the discernment to know that and to just throw or spit out the bones, Lord, and to just eat the meat tonight. And I do pray, Father, that all of this would just really heighten the spirit of excitement to be about your business in these last days. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share 10 signs with you from 2020 that show us that we're closer than ever to Jesus taking up the church. And that's the great thing about biblical prophecy. And when you study the timeline of biblical prophecy, every second that passes, we're closer. So even if, you know, it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, it doesn't matter. We're getting closer, and the generation after us is getting closer. And you know what? The church has lived this way for centuries, and it's a biblical, healthy worldview to have. And so I want to share that with you guys tonight. And regardless of where you're at on the rapture, whatever, I'll just let you know right off the bat, I'm a premillennialist, pre-tribulationist. That's the view of Calvary Chapel. That's where we stand. There are Christians that hold to different views. That's, you know, that's your prerogative, right? That's your you have that option to do that. And you know, I respect you as a brother in the Lord. It's not something I feel like we need to divide over, but it is something that I think is really important for us to study the scriptures and to come to a conclusion and know why we believe what we believe. And so it's very important. And tonight, I just want to share 10 signs. Before I do that, I just want to really let you guys know, I do have all of my sources available. If somebody wants a list of the sources where I'm getting this stuff from, please come and talk to me or email me through the church website, and I can get you the resources. Most of it is some internet news articles. Some of it comes from different websites. I do listen to J.D. Farag. Some of you guys know him, yeah? Okay. Sometimes I listen to him with my wife. Sometimes I listen to Jan Markell, so Olive Tree Ministries and some stuff like that. They have some really good resources. Also, just want to thank my wife. My wife loves prophecy 10 times more than I do, I think, you know, and she just loves it. And so she's constantly giving me updates and feedback and things like that. And I just want to say thank you to her for helping me as well. So with that, first sign of 2020 that shows us we're closer than ever would be that COVID-19 paves the way for globalism. And this is really the defining thing of 2020 in my mind as we relate to the biblical prophetic timeline. If you would have told me at the beginning of 2020 that toilet paper would disappear off the shelves, that in order to buy anything, I was going to have to put a mask on, and that the government was actually not going to allow me to go to church in the United States of America, I would have thought you were absolutely out of your mind. But all of that happened in the United States of America. The virus hit, and here's what we know. First of all, it is a man-made virus that originated in Wuhan, China. It's been manipulated, and that happened in Wuhan, China. And it is microscopic in size. That's what a virus is, teeny, teeny, itty-bitty little thing, and therefore it's uncontrollable in its spread. That is proven by reality, isn't it? Because no matter what, how much anybody has tried to contain it, it just cannot be contained. It's beyond our control, and we need to accept that. Just look at the facts. In states that have locked down and masked up and been more strict than anybody, it's still spreading. In countries that have locked down and masked up and even been more dictator-like than the United States has been, it's still spreading. So it is not something we can control. The second thing that we know about this virus, and I'm going to say this, and then I want to explain it, but it is not a deadly plague. Why do I say this? Am I a cruel person who doesn't care about people who have underlying medical conditions? Do I not care about the people even that I know that have contracted this and passed away? Am I cold-hearted, uncaring? I don't care about your grandma or your dad? Listen, no, that is not true. But that is what some people might label me as by simply stating that this is not a deadly plague. Let's go over the numbers tonight. First of all, according to the CDC's website, they tell us that 19,232,843 people have contracted COVID-19 or tested positive for COVID-19. Of those 19,232,843 people, and this was as of yesterday, 334,029 have passed away. So if we look at that, that is a 1.74% death rate and a 98.26% recovery rate. So that's the facts on COVID-19, according to the CDC website. Keeping all that in mind, did you know that tobacco-related mortality gives us 480,000 deaths attributed to tobacco-related mortality a year from the CDC website? How come we're not going crazy about cigarettes right now? How come we're not shutting down the tobacco industry? Here's some more perspective. The population of the United States of America is 328 million people. And that means that of 328 million people, if 19 million have got it, that's about 6% of the entire population that has come down with COVID-19. And get this, 0.1% of the entire population of the United States has actually died from it. 0.1% of the population of the United States of America. And so, guys, we have governors and mayors and officials that are trying to keep everyone locked down and businesses closed. And this has caused untold tragedy of businesses, families, churches, cities, states, and our nation. Why are they doing it? When you look at the numbers, it does not make sense. There has to be an explanation for it. And that is where I believe we find the answer in globalism. I believe that there are people that are pushing an agenda. And related to the biblically prophetic timeline, it is a push towards a one world government. And that's what's happening. That's what's behind all of this. You see, in times past, when viruses have broken out and diseases and plagues have broken out, there's always been a quarantining of the sick, but life goes on for the rest. There's been a quarantining of the vulnerable, but life goes on for the rest. Why in this case, all of a sudden, is it so different? I think there's something behind it. Now, prophetically speaking, the virus has paved the way for globalism in ways that I honestly did not think possible. I didn't see it coming, but it's happened. It's given the global elites and the governments worldwide the motive that they needed to seize control and to implement controlling measures. And one scary thing about government to think about, guys, is wherever government seizes control, they don't just give it up and walk away after they do so. Study history. Once they have that control, they very rarely relinquish it. That's a scary thought when you think about what's going on. Now, Klaus Schwab is the founder and executive director of the World Economic Forum, and he said this about the pandemic. He said, "The pandemic represents a narrow but rare window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." This is the head of the World Economic Forum, which is made up of about 600 members, which are billionaires. They control most of the wealth of the world, and they have a plan, and they're very powerful. In other words, he's saying, don't let a good crisis go to waste, right? Now, one of the controlling measures that they're talking about to make things better, to reimagine and reset, one of the controlling measures is a globally coordinated effort that they're calling the Great Reset. And here's the statement on the Great Reset's homepage. It says, there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. This is not hidden. It's well publicized. It's out there. They even want you to know about it. And that, to me, is a little bit different because they're not hiding. They're very aggressively pushing. And the question is, for me, whose idea of improvement are we going with here? Because they've got an idea of what it means to improve, and God and the Bible has an idea of what it means to improve. And they're nothing alike, let me tell you. Reading through the World Economic Forum's statements and their beliefs, basically their practices, they share that basically they believe that the entire system of capitalism is set up on the wrong truth system, the wrong principles, that, you know, we've operated for so long, basically that humanity is broken and needs to be fixed. And they're saying, no, humanity is not broken. We just need to be educated. We need to be given the right opportunities. And so it's the whole thing that flies in opposition of the fallen nature that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about man is flawed because of sin. We all have that disease. They're looking at mankind from a completely different angle and saying, no, we don't have sin. We don't have a problem. We are gods. We're gods, and we just have to figure this out. But here's the thing. Their idea about improving the state of the world won't lead to utopia. Study your Old Testament, guys. What do all the governments that are run by human beings end up in? Corruption, right? Corruption. No human government in the past has led to utopia, and no human government can lead us into utopia in the future. Only God is able to govern the world in a way that's going to bring about true justice, prosperity, and peace that we're looking for. Now, the basic problem with the World Economic Forum is they're not aligned with God. They're aligned with the idea, as I said before, that humans are capable. We're evolving, and essentially, we're in no need of God because we ourselves are God. That's what they would. That's where they're coming from. Now, the healthcare system is another thing that we need to be keeping an eye on. I really think that the healthcare system is a way that they're going to implement a lot of control, and they're already doing that, right? The healthcare system, now don't get me wrong, I love our nurses. I'm very, very thankful for our first responders. Many of you come to this church. I'm so blessed and thankful that you guys sacrifice the way that you do. Doctors and all of you guys. But listen, I think the system itself has been elevated to an almost godlike status now. And people are willing to surrender their privacy more and more in the name of healthcare. And it's dangerous, I think. It's not I don't think that's what God intended when he gave that first person that desire to care for somebody else. He didn't want that to turn into a dictatorship. But I think that this healthcare system can become the vehicle through which the government can and will exercise control over people. Now, also, the COVID-19 crisis has also given global elites and governments of the world the motive that they needed for implementing a cashless society. How many of you guys were surprised to go to the store and take out cash and try to pay for something and they wouldn't take it? That happened to me several times. Well, why not? Well, because it could be contaminated. What? Oh, okay. Or no, we don't have change. We're out of change. What? What do you mean? And all of these things that they were coming up with, and really, you know, it's the idea that cash is dirty, it carries the virus, and plus they can't track cash, can they? So remember that. Also remember this, the reason for the cashless society is because Satan and the Antichrist, they are not omniscient beings. They're not omnipresent beings like God is. They need systems in place to be able to track people. Systems like the mark of the beast and like a cashless society that logs economic transactions. Any of you been following Bitcoin at all? Bitcoin has blown up through the roof in the stock market. Why is that? Because it's getting very popular. People are looking now and going, how can we make a cashless society? The thing is, with those digital currencies, you can track every single transaction, and that's what some of these people want. Also, we see that because of COVID-19, the rich are getting richer while the poor are getting poorer. Let me just and, you know, again, I don't have anything against Amazon personally at all. I used it quite a bit, a little bit too much, I think. But how many of you guys stopped shopping locally and started shopping all online or maybe through Amazon? They say that Amazon's wealth has just exploded during this COVID-19 time because everybody's shopping through them now. Now, the top 1% of the richest Americans now own as much money as the entire middle class in America, according to Forbes.com. The entire middle class in America doesn't have as much wealth as the top 1% of the richest Americans. Revelation chapter 6:6 speaks to this. It says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Now, Revelation 6:6, that's in the tribulation period. But the meaning of that verse is that there's going to be a shortage of the staple foods, which is going to cause prices to rise. While, notice, luxury items like oil and wine are going to be plenteous. In other words, the average working man is going to be spending all or most of his income just to survive and support his dependents, while the rich continue to live luxuriously. That stage is being set right now, where people in the middle class and lower middle class and lower class, man, they're struggling, and it's hard to make ends meet. And yet the rich are kicking back, getting richer, exponentially growing their wealth right now. Now, I'm not saying the answer is we go out and put a heavy tax on the rich or something like that either. That's not the answer. We need, but we need to realize that this is happening, and it ties into biblical prophecy. Now, as a result of the coronavirus pandemic in 2020, many small businesses are severely hurting and even closing right now, while the major corporations and the essential businesses are exploding. Wasn't that interesting how all of that worked out as well? Who gets deemed essential and who doesn't? What a mess. What a mess. Now, another thing that's happened because of COVID-19 is now this what I would call psychological warfare being used to cause people to fall in line. It's bullying tactics, and it's fear and propaganda. Those are the useful tools to intimidate us and to control us right now. In fact, the mainstream media, working with government officials and these global elites, are using fear and propaganda to wage psychological war in your mind. If you go against them, they'll say you're crazy. If you go against them, they'll say you're a conspiracy theorist. If you go against them and question something, they'll blacklist your business. They'll call you a science denier. They'll marginalize you and shame you until you comply. That's what's coming down. I want to give a few examples of that happening right now, later on tonight. Now, a second major sign from 2020 that's biblically that ties into this biblical prophecy is that lawlessness is paving the way for the lawless one. And we have seen lawlessness spreading in the United States of America. Much of it is done in this discussion about racism. Racism has become really a tool that is used to silence people who don't fit their agenda, and they use it as a way to basically incite division. Now, of course, racism is condemned by the Bible. The Bible teaches that Jesus tears down walls of separation, that human beings are equal in God's sight, that God created all of us and that He loves us, and He died. He sent His Son Jesus to die for all of us. So racism shouldn't exist in the church. Unfortunately, there are places where it does. But racism is being used as a tool now to incite division in America. And the mainstream media has been especially guilty of playing the racism card. They do it in order to stir up anger and hatred and violence. There's some examples of this. First of all, with Black Lives Matter and with Antifa. Let me be clear, first of all, let me say that Black Lives Matter, as a sentence, we all agree with. We all definitely agree with that sentence. Yes, Black lives do matter. And listen, I do think that we need to be listening to their voice and their story, because there are brothers and sisters that are Black that are hurting because of some things that have happened in their lives. And it's okay to listen to them, and it's good to listen to them and to hear their story and to recognize the reality that some of them live with every day. It's awful. I lived in Texas for 5 years and saw it there firsthand, and it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. It grieves the heart of God. However, Black Lives Matter as an organization, what we have seen and understood is that that is something else entirely, isn't it? Here's a couple of their stated beliefs as an organization. This is before, by the way, they were taken down from their website, and their website was actually scrubbed of anything that made them look extreme. I don't know if any of you caught that, but that happened back in September, I believe. But before that happened, here's what their beliefs said. It said, we disrupt, this is one of their tenets, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. So basically, understand what they do is disrupt the nuclear family structure. That is literally satanic, because the family structure is the base structure of any civilization. If you disrupt the nuclear family unit, you're destroying civilization. And that's exactly what Satan wants. A second thing that they had in their tenets of belief is that we foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless she, he, or they disclose otherwise. I'm sorry, guys, but the reality is that all in the world are heterosexual unless they do disclose otherwise, because heterosexuality is the norm, and it always has been the norm, by the way, for the vast majority of people in the world, for the history of the world. Now, that was all taken from their What We Believe page, and it reveals to us the true heart of evil behind the BLM as a movement. Now, as I said, all of that has since been scrubbed and cleaned up, because they want to appear very innocent and inclusive, and that is exactly how Satan works. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It looks great on the outside. But as you've seen, their beliefs reflect this new kind of rebelliousness towards God and Christian principles and the Bible, which once were the bedrock of our nation. So that's dangerous, and that's contributing, that's going to have a national effect. Now, there's also the Defund the Police movement. That's another movement that reveals to us just how far down the road of insanity and lawlessness some people in our nation are prepared to go. They're willing to actually dismiss and defund the very police officers who are sworn to uphold the law of the land. Talk about lawlessness. Now, reforming the police system is one thing, and that would probably be a good thing if it was done in the right way. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But defunding the police entirely, that's dangerous and crazy. It shows that we're indeed becoming more and more lawless. Now, third sign in 2020 is the increasing persecution of believers. In 2020, globally, thousands and thousands of Christians were killed because they believe in Jesus Christ and they would not renounce their faith. It happened, one of the main places was in Nigeria, over in Africa, where the Christians were being slaughtered by the Muslims. Also in the Middle East, because of ISIS and other Islamic groups. Christians are being slaughtered. Here in America, the persecution is ratcheting up as well. Now, thank God we don't have the same level as they do in Nigeria and in places in the Middle East right now. Because I think the church would probably get real small real fast. I know I would really have to think. That would be something that would really purify us as a church. But listen, churches here in America are being fined by the health system, and they're also being vilified by the public health departments, and they're being vilified in the mainstream media. You can look up Calvary Chapel San Jose with Pastor Mike McClure. He's been in the news just recently, coming out of the courthouse, and there's the cameras, and they're asking him, and then they're interviewing another pastor, and the other pastor is just denouncing him and saying, "You don't love people." And talking to him and saying, "Why are you doing this? Why are you meeting together without masks and doing all these things?" And they're putting it on the cameras and painting them out as if, you know, they're just these, you know, backwards people that don't get it and want to put other people's health at risk. If you read through the article, that's the tone. And it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous tone. Now, they're not coming right out and saying it, but the tone and the way they're portraying them, it's very dangerous. And so what that's going to result in is there's going to be persecution there. And we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters that this is happening to. This also happened at Calvary Albuquerque, where somebody and another church there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that had a Christmas Eve service like we did. And somebody took a picture of the congregation and then posted it on social media and called them all murderers. And so the health department fined them. And that's happening. And you know what? That could happen here too. You know, we've experienced somebody denouncing this church. And that's just the beginning, guys. And that's going to continue. Now, also, we know that in the next administration, the next presidential administration, attacks on religious liberty, I believe, are going to increase. Why do I say that? If you look at Joe Biden's cabinet picks, it shows you the challenges that we're going to be facing as Christians in certain areas in the United States of America. For example, Javier Becerra, who currently serves as the California Attorney General, he's been nominated as the Health and Human Services Secretary for President Joe Biden. That's a very important position. And it's a position that he's going to use 100% based on his track record to promote the things like the Equality Act, which is a law that would steamroll religious liberty in the name of the LGBTQ plus agenda. And so what you would see is actually Christian colleges and private Christian schools and perhaps even churches being forced to either comply with federal laws in hiring homosexuals and allowing them to be a part of their workforce, even though they don't adhere to the creed, the religious creed of that organization. And that's dangerous. But that's what you're going to start seeing. You might see a church get slapped with a lawsuit because they won't perform that wedding for those two men that want to get married, or those two ladies that want to get married. Something that is against the word of God. Now, Javier Becerra is a huge proponent as well of abortion. In fact, in 2018, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he tried to force the Christian pregnancy centers in California to post in writing a notice informing their patients that they could get a free abortion paid for by the state of California at an abortion clinic, and they were supposed to display where the nearest one was. That was in the crisis pregnancy centers, the Christian faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Thankfully, that one went to the Supreme Court, and it barely got shot down in a very close decision. It was 5-4. But Javier Becerra is just one of several far, far left people that Joe Biden is tapping to help him run the government of the United States. And all of that spells out for us that these government officials who are anti-God and anti-Christian, that spells out hard times for us. We enjoyed government support for religious freedom under President Trump, but you're going to see an aggressive move towards abortion, the LGBTQ plus agenda policies, and an attempt to defeat religious freedom in our hiring practices at private Christian institutions and in other ways. So to take a stand as a Bible-believing Christian in America, it's going to be opening yourself up more and more to persecution as we go along. And so we better be ready. They'll shame you. They will say that you're a hater of people. They're going to bully you. They're going to publish your information on social media called doxing. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but they share your personal documents, your address, and where you live and things like that so that people can threaten you and intimidate you. That's going to start happening. A fourth sign is that the decline of America as a national superpower. The decline of America as a national superpower. If you look at America right now and you see where we're going in the future, it's very interesting to watch. I think it's something, you know, it's very sad for me. It's very sad for all of us. But we have a country that if things don't change, it's going to go the way of history. There's an overextended national debt. If you go to the nationaldebtclock.com and look at it, you can see the debt of the United States as it's being racked up, even while you look at it. And it is at almost $28 trillion right now. $28 trillion is a figure that we can't even comprehend. It's so big. It's so big. It would be mind-blowing to try to figure that out. Now, there's also an inflation of currency right now. When I say that, I'm talking about the government printing money and pouring it into sectors of the economy. And that's causing the value of the dollar to go down. And that cannot go on forever, guys. That does not end well if you study history. Also, we have a national government now that supports socialism and globalism instead of patriotism, or that's going to be in the future, right, as we move forward. Basically, you're looking at an extension of President Obama's tenure, right? That's what President Joe Biden is going to be doing, president-elect. That's what he's going to be doing, is implementing a lot of the same socialist and globalist type policies instead of national patriotism. Now, those who study Bible prophecy, this is important because if you study Bible prophecy, you know that in the end times, there's really only one superpower, the scriptures tell us, and that is a revived Roman Empire. Remember the statue that Daniel saw, the feet of clay and iron? And so that is the revived Roman Empire that's going to be headed up by the Antichrist. And thus we know America is not going to be around, at least not as a superpower. And so at some point it's going to have to decline. And we might be watching the beginning of that happening right now. Not only is America declining, but also, fifthly, we see a decline of the culture. A decline of the culture. Now, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty in drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." That's what the Bible says about people that call good or evil good and good evil. For example, we have several examples of that in 2020. California's crazy laws. Senate Bill 145 was passed just recently. It's a law that leaves it up to a judge's discretion to decide if he's going to cause somebody to register as a sex offender for having a sexual relationship with a minor. So let me try to clarify that just a little bit. The law states that an adult who's 18 years plus in a consensual sexual relationship with a minor that's 14 years old plus, that the adult doesn't have to register as a sex offender unless the judge on that particular case determines that he has to. So it's up to the whim of the judge. Now, previously, that law's bad enough because the law states that up to 10 years older than that minor. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. And let me tell you why. In his podcast on The Daily Briefing, Albert Mohler said this, As one very brave member of the California legislature pointed out, this would allow a 14-year-old boy or girl to be sexually abused by a 23 or 24-year-old man or woman without any absolute necessity of the convicted sex offender being listed on the state sex offender registry. That is disgusting. And that's insanity. And it should make us, angry. And yet Governor Newsom signed that bill into law in September of this year. And of course, the example that they want to give in the media, well, we're talking about an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old, but that's not what the law says. The law says up to 10 years older than that minor. Now, Senate Bill 132 is another one, a law that says that California's prisons must now assign prisoners not based on their biological sex, but rather on their gender identity. So if you're a man sentenced to prison in California, you could insist that you actually identify as a woman and be put in a woman's prison, technically speaking, according to this new law. We'll see how that goes. Absolute insanity. But this is what we see happening. It's a decline of culture. We also see a continuation of the culture of death here in America. Abortion and euthanasia continuing to grow worldwide. And I can guarantee you, in the next administration, it's going to blow up again. It's going to get worse. We've also have the legalization of drugs and gambling going on. Now, America's solution when things start to get out of control seems to be, well, legalize it. We'll legalize it and tax it, and then we'll make money off it. The problem is with that practice, though, once you start doing that, it becomes a slippery slope as you try to accommodate all of the immoral behavior of an immoral nation. And there are people right now that are pressing for things that would blow your mind if I told you about them. Things like pedophilia and polyamory and all of that sick stuff. But it's a slippery slope, like I said. And right now, they're trying to shock everybody with it. But you know, that's the way it works. That's the way liberalism works. First, they introduce it to shock everybody. But when the shock wears off, they try it again. And they keep trying until they get it through. There's now only 6 states in the United States of America where marijuana is completely illegal. Also, California, Oregon, and Colorado are now pushing for psilocybin, which is mushrooms. Mushrooms, guys. They think that we should legalize mushrooms. Now, ironically, psychiatrists and doctors in the recent past have said that psilocybin or the use of mushrooms should not be used to treat mental illnesses. But now, all of a sudden, studies are starting to change, aren't they? Just like they changed with marijuana. Just like they changed with gambling. It's interesting that once money gets thrown into the mix, minds get changed. Also, since 2018, almost every state has either legalized sports betting or they've introduced legislation to legalize it. So gambling is now, almost the entire United States is going to have legal sports betting. Now, that can become an addiction really fast. I've talked to plenty of families who suffer from someone in that family being addicted to the addiction of gambling. But we don't want to talk about that because then you're taking away fun, right? Let's keep it focused on the COVID-19 and what we want you to do. Don't talk about all this other stuff that's destroying our nation. Now, the strong delusions, number 6, the strong delusions and doctrines of demons are increasing. That definitely happened in 2020. There is rampant fear and confusion in the United States of America right now, and even amongst Christians. And it's hard. I'll admit, when I came in July and I had to make all these decisions, I was confused. I didn't know what to do at first. Until my wife was like, "Well, you pray, dummy, you know?" It's like, "Oh, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do." Get in the Word and pray, right? But there's so many Christians that aren't getting in the Word and they're not praying and not being led by the Spirit right now. Instead, they're being led by this fear and confusion. And because of that, we're not looking to the Word to get our guidance and the revealed Word of God. And it's affecting the church too. But in the worldwide, in general, there's rampant fear. There's confusion right now. You got some people saying one thing and some people saying the other thing. And it just depends on, you know, what your worldview is. It's hard to know who to believe anymore. Even science has become politicized these days. It's all about who wants to get what desired end. And so even the scientists are saying, whoa, somebody hijacked the science and somebody's driving this ship. It's not us anymore. The word that we're being told is you have to follow the law. You have to, the governor said it. And so because he said it, if you don't do as they say, then we're going to attack you. How many of you guys have seen videos online of people who don't wear a mask into a store and they're getting yelled at and even swarmed? That's not social distancing, right? I don't know what's going on with that. But there's all these strong delusions and doctrines of demons that are going around. And even Christians are confused about some of this stuff. And I hear Christians saying, well, we're supposed to follow the law of the land, whatever the cost. You know, Romans 13. But what we're forgetting about here is that the law of the land is the Constitution of the United States. And the last time I checked, it says we have a right to assemble and we have a right to practice our religion. Amen? That's the law of the land. That's the law of the land. And so until they pass all this stuff through the legislature and it goes through Congress and becomes the law of the land, hey, then we're going to do what God tells us to do. And even after that, guys, we got to do what God tells us to do. It's one of the things I got to say for Pastor Mike McClure from Calvary Chapel, San Jose. It's one of the things he said right into the camera. He said, you know what? When it comes down to obeying God or man, I got to choose to obey God. And I was so blessed by that. We need to pray for that man because I know he's going through it. A seventh reason is the state of the apostasy in the church. The state of apostasy in the church. So we've talked about some of the stuff in the world. Now let's talk about it in the church. Listen, sound biblical preaching is not the norm. You guys might be used to it because you're Calvary Chapelites, right? And so you know, somebody gives a class on inductive Bible study and you're like, hey, that's what we do every Sunday. You know, that's what we do every week. You already know inductive Bible study because that's what we do here. But there's a lot of churches, they have no idea what that is. They don't know what biblical preaching is, going through the Word of God, verse by verse, book by book, the whole counsel of God. And so that's fading away for the most part. And in its absence, there's this void that's being filled with emotional experiences and unhealthy doctrine. And the topical sermons, whatever that pastor of that church is wanting to teach on then. And so they're not covering the whole counsel of God. And they're not giving a whole picture of who God is. Much of the church today operates under a God of their imagination, not the God of the Bible. And that's a scary thought. A.W. Tozer talked about that in his book called The Knowledge of the Holy. He says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Meditate on that for a second tonight. What comes into your mind when you think about God? That's the most important thing about you as an individual. And so if we have Christians that don't read their Bibles and aren't being taught the word, then they're making up God in their minds to fit whatever, you know, their favorite celebrity or superhero or the best of humanity that they can think of, and that's their God. But it's not the God of the Bible. It's dangerous. So there's things like the New Apostolic Reformation running around in the church today. And that's a false teaching, guys. According to gotquestions.org, the New Apostolic Reformation emphasizes experience over scripture, mysticism over doctrine, and modern day apostles over the plain text of the Bible. And that's running rampant right now, being promoted all over the place by churches like Bethel in Redding, California. Experience over doctrine. Mysticism over scripture, modern day apostles over the plain text of the Bible. Some weird stuff. Also, critical race theory and liberation theology are spreading through the church today. Now, both of those have infiltrated Bible seminaries. They've infiltrated churches. In fact, the Southern Baptist Church denomination just had to come out with a statement about where they stand on all that. It's a very good statement to read. I encourage you to look that up. But the danger of both of these, this theory and theology, is that they removed the focus of the church from the gospel and they put it on social justice. And so this change in focus, hey, some of it can be useful, yes, but it, when it becomes the focus of the church, that's devastating for the church's mission. Jesus called us to go into all the world and to make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them, teaching them to observe Jesus' commands, not the doctrine of man, not the traditions and philosophies of man. And that's exactly what those two things are. Then you've got the shutdown of churches going on. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 says, "And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another." Man, I see that happening in the church where people are offended and they betray each other and they hate each other all because of this stupid pandemic thing. It's happening. And some people haven't even come back to fellowship yet. And they're struggling. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about churches in general. Churches in general, we've got people that haven't been in fellowship for months and months, and they're struggling, and they don't even know it. You've all heard the analogy of the coals in a grill, right? You put those coals together, you put the lighter fluid on, you get them going, and then they heat each other, and they bake, you know, they're good to go. You take one of those coals and move it away from that grill, and it goes out. It gets cold if it's separated long enough. That's what's happening to so many people right now, because staying home in fear is not God's long-term plan for the church. God designed human beings to be around each other. There's something that happens. There's a sharpening that happens when fellowship takes place. When I look you in the eyes and I ask you, how you doing, brother? And you can open up and say, you know what, pastor? I'm hurting right now, or I'm struggling with this sin, or could you pray for me for this, or I'm feeling sick. There's something that happens when that goes on. The fellowship of the saints, the friendship, the love, the interaction that takes place. God created us for that. And so the long-term plan is never to be separated. Now, if you don't, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I need to say this. If you don't want to be deceived by the delusions of the world, then guess what? You have to be willing to lay down your life in discipleship and follow Jesus. Jesus said, you have to lose your life if you're going to find it. And I think sometimes the problem is that we really don't want to lose our lives. We want to cling to it, and we want to, you know, put our trust in so many other things. But at the end of the day, do we belong to the Lord, or do we belong to ourselves? So that's a huge thing that's affecting us. Also, number 8, the peace treaty efforts in the Middle East. And I bring this up just simply because we know that the Antichrist is going to eventually sign a huge treaty in the Middle East that's going to bring about peace between Israel and the nations that surround her. And so because of that, we've seen, I want to say that's a significant thing of 2020. We've seen some things happening there in the Middle East that could be setting the stage for the future Antichrist to actually sign that peace deal. And so keep your eyes on that. Number 9, all of the natural disasters of 2020, the Bible calls those things birth pangs. And if you're a woman and have had a child, you know exactly what Jesus is talking about. You know what birth pangs are. You know what starts to happen when you get that little feeling in the stomach area, right? It starts to tighten up. And you know the difference between the Braxton Hicks contractions and the real ones. And once they start, they don't stop until the baby's born, right? And that's the way the Bible describes these last days' events. The destruction, the mayhem that are caused by natural disasters. In 2020, many records were set. And they continue to grow stronger as time goes on. We had the wildfires in California and Colorado that were unprecedented. We had hurricanes in southern U.S. and Central America. I know several pastor friends that were posting videos and pictures of the hurricane before, during, and after shots, and it's devastating what has happened down there. Whole towns destroyed, and you know they're working hard to recover, and they're doing fine because they have the Lord and they have each other, but it's serious stuff. The rain, the flooding, the heat records in several places in the United States. There's earthquakes that are continuing around the world. How about the locust swarm? Anybody see that? There was a biblical plague of locusts, of biblical proportions, the news said, in the Eastern Africa area there of locusts. And you just go online and look at pictures of that. It will blow your mind away. I didn't have time to get one for the message tonight. But now, let me counter that by saying, listen, the suffering of the people who are going through these things, it breaks our hearts. And of course, we have a heart for them, and we want to reach them with the gospel. But all of these natural disasters, they remind us, we're living in a fallen world, and they remind us also, they're the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8 says this, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." So during the seven-year tribulation, the Bible tells us that the earth is actually going to go through even worse things. These disasters are only going to increase, and they're going to get worse. The earth right now is groaning under the burden of sin, and all creation is crying out to God for him to intervene. Now, the 10th one, last one here, as we get ready to wrap this up, is a people's increased longing for a Savior. Listen, with all the crazy things that have happened in 2020, many, many people are hoping for a brand new normal. They want to get past this. They want something new, the new normal to materialize. And, you know, like the slogan for the Biden campaign is build back better, right? And let's do global reset, say the global elites. And people are wanting to just be led out of this crisis. And guess what? They're ripe for a world leader. They're ripe for a one world government and somebody to step in and to say, hey, here's how we're going to do this. This is the plan. And so we see all of that happening, and it points us to the fact that we are one giant step closer at the end of 2020 to the return of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. It could happen tonight, according to biblical prophecy. Amen? So let's allow that fact to reprioritize as we think about life. Now, that doesn't mean that we go spend our entire retirement fund, you know, or that we stop working. You know, the Thessalonian church did that, and they got reprimanded by the Apostle Paul. We need to live wise. We need to live with the two realities in mind. One, we're citizens of heaven, and Jesus could come for us at any moment. But at the same time, in the meantime, we need to occupy and overcome while we're living here. We need to be spreading the kingdom. So for 2021, I would say this. Keep your eyes on the Great Reset. Keep your eyes on the persecution of Christians. Keep your eyes on the strong delusions that are going to be happening because there's an absence of the love of the truth. There's going to be strong delusions. And I'm going to be talking about that on Sunday, how we as Christians can protect ourselves from the strong delusions and the psychological warfare that's going to be coming against us satanically. So keep your eyes on those things. Now, I don't think that things are going to return to normal, guys. I really don't. Maybe after the world gets vaccinated and everything, maybe we'll get rid of the masks. But I don't think other things are going to return to normal necessarily. So we need to kind of get past that thinking. Oh, if we could just get back to normal. No, that could be something that the enemy uses to bait you into doing what somebody else wants you to do. So instead, what we need to do is we need to realize the world's never going to be the same. And while that's sad, it is sad when you think about it, it's also very exciting for us because we know, those of us that are looking for the Lord's appearing and realizing it can happen any moment. It's exciting times to be alive. I've heard it put this way. God is shaking us up, trying to wake us up, so that we will look up. I like that. I'm going to say it one more time. God is shaking us up, so trying to wake us up so that we will look up. So as I close this prophecy update, I want to remind anybody who's listening, first of all, God is in control. Amen? Amen. And if you're a believer, then you have a glorious future waiting for you with Jesus Christ. So don't lose heart. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Every day, remind yourself of that. The Bible says in Luke 21, verse 34 through 36, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So keep that in mind. Don't get caught up in carousing and drunkenness and the things of this world. Set your priorities straight. Secondly, if you're not a believer here tonight, then Isaiah 55:6 says simply this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the ABCs of salvation, really quickly here tonight, and I stole these from J.D. Farag. Some of you guys already know that. Admit you're a sinner, right? That's where you allow godly sorrow for your sin to lead you to a place of genuine repentance where you say, Jesus, I am sorry, I've sinned against you, a righteous God. And I admit that I've done that, and I'm changing my mind right now, and I'm going to go in another direction. And then the second thing that you need to do is believe. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead, and that he's alive right now. You can put your trust in him, and he will save you. And then the last part is to call upon his name, and that's simply just trusting in Jesus with all of your heart. You believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he's going to save you. You believe, you call upon him and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Lord, we pray for anybody listening tonight, Lord. We pray first for the believer. We pray that their heart would be comforted. And Lord, if you had a word of reproof or rebuke or correction tonight, Lord, or instruction in righteousness, we just pray that every believer who heard that word tonight would be humble enough to receive it, that they wouldn't harden their hearts, Lord, but they would soften their hearts and they would say, yes, Lord, that was for me. I receive it. And if there's unbelievers listening to this message tonight, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they too would humble themselves in your sight, admitting they have sinned, believing that you are who you say you are, and calling upon your name to save them. It's that simple, Lord Jesus. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do that. With our eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you, you know that the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart and you need to give your life to Jesus right now. You can simply do that by saying, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Come into my life. I surrender. It's that simple. So do that right now, and he will hear you and will save you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We want to thank you for listening to this message with Pastor Phil McKay. And let us all remember that no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, search for the Calvary Chapel Reno Sparks app via the App Store or Google Play Store. And check out the website at calvarychapelreno.org to stay connected with the body of Christ here at CCRS.